In its devotion to sanity and the free play of ideas, Pacifica has not been lacking in discussion of the nature and quality of freedom itself, as in this excerpt from the award-winning program, The First Amendment, the Core of Our Constitution, an analysis by Dr. Alexander Micklejohn, originally delivered before the United States Congress.
The First Amendment seems to me to be a very uncompromising statement. It admits of no exceptions. It tells us that the Congress, and by implication all other agencies of the government, are denied any authority whatever to limit the political freedom of the citizens of this nation. It declares that with respect to political belief, political discussion, political advocacy, political planning, our citizens are sovereign, and the Congress is their subordinate agent. Mr. Chairman, in view of your courtesy to me, I hope that you will not find me discourteous to you when I thus suggest that the Congress, of which you are members, is a subordinate branch of the government of the United States. In saying this, I am simply repeating, in less passionate words, what was said by the writers of the Federalist Papers when, a century and three quarters ago, they explained the meaning of the proposed Constitution to a body politic which seemed very reluctant to adopt it. Over and over again, the writers of those papers declared that the Constitutional Convention had given to the people adequate protection against a much feared tyranny of the legislature. It is chiefly the legislature, the Federalist insists, which threatens to usurp the governing powers of the people. In words which, unfortunately, have some relevance today, it declares that it is against the enterprising ambition of this department that the people ought to indulge their jealousy and exhaust all their precautions. And further, the hesitant people were assured that the convention, having recognized this danger, had devised adequate protections against it. The representatives, it was provided, would be elected by vote of the people. Elections would be for terms brief enough to ensure active and continuous popular control. The legislature would have no lawmaking authority other than those limited powers specifically delegated to it. A general legislative power to act for the security and welfare of the nation was denied on the ground that it would destroy the basic postulate of popular self-government on which the Constitution rests. As the Federalist thus describes with insight and accuracy the constitutional defenses of the freedom of the people against legislative invasion, it is not speaking of that freedom as an individual right which is bestowed upon the citizens by action of the legislature. Nor is the principle of the freedom of speech derived from a law of nature or of reason in the abstract. As it stands in the Constitution, it is an expression of the basic American political agreement that in the last resort, the people of the United States shall govern themselves. To find its meaning, therefore, we must dig down to the very foundations of the self-governing process. And what we shall there find is the fact that when men govern themselves, it is they and no one else who must pass judgment upon public policies. And that means that in our popular discussions, unwise ideas must have a hearing as well as wise ones. Dangerous ideas as well as safe, un-American as well as American. Just so far as at any point, the citizens who are to decide issues are denied acquaintance with information or opinion or doubt or disbelief or criticism which is relevant to those issues, just so far the result must be ill-considered, ill-balanced planning for the general good. It is that mutilation of the thinking process of the community against which the First Amendment is directed. That provision neither the legislature nor the executive, nor the judiciary, nor all of them acting together has authority to nullify. We Americans have decided, together, to be free.